Welcome to the podcast to hear everything about your new home, Mars City. This tour is designed so you have all the information and you will feel at home immediately. We are Annelies and Nick and we welcome you to Mars City.
Years ago, the first colonizers arrived. In those years, they built their first dome and many more after. Nowadays, the city consists of many different domes, but their design is always the same. This tour takes place in Dome A2, where we are in this moment. We'll give you a tour in order to make you feel at home. In this tour, we will walk with various experts on their topic.
We start the tour in front of your new house. The buildings are made of very thick concrete. This concrete is sulfur-based Martian concrete. The reason why we choose this concrete is that it's easy to make in an environment like Mars. Besides that, it's a very strong building material and can withstand the low and dry environment. The other main building materials for our building is steel.
The dome is made out of glass to protect us inside of the dome from all the radiation. The dome is covered with a protection layer. This layer does not only protect us from the radiation, but also protects the glass from weathering due to all the sandstorms and other forces from nature.
The houses are built with five or four floors. The idea behind this is that because of this density, a lot of things are within walking distance for everyone who lives in the city, but it will also not feel anonymous. Public transport is underground, so at ground level there will be more space for other functions. This will also allow people to travel fast from one place to another.
It was quite a challenge to build on Mars, but we managed to build an energy system. Boris, our expert on energy, will tell you more about this.
Yes. Thanks a lot for inviting me to tell you something about the energy system here on Mars. And indeed, it was very, very challenging. At first, when we were with just a few scientists here on Mars, it was quite easy to survive. We used like some sort of nuclear batteries to provide us with energy. And this energy was used for the life support systems, such as water, food, and oxygen production. The actual name of these is radioisotope thermoelectric generators, but I'll spare you the details. However, when the settlement got bigger and slowly developed into a city, we needed more energy.
Interesting. And how did you succeed in providing more energy?
We built quite some solar parks, which had some issues. For example, due to all the dust storms, we need to clean them quite often to make sure no dust piles up. And their efficiency is quite good. They are like around 26% efficient. And they are able to convert quite some solar power into electricity. And furthermore, as you can see, we built quite some windmills. These are very, very large because there's such thin air here on Mars. Over there, you can see them.
Oh yeah, you can see them from miles away.
Yes, they are cool, but they are problems. Also with solar and also with wind, they have large fluctuations in energy supply. For example, the difference between day and night and when there's wind or no wind and summer or winter. So that's difficult. And to deal with these fluctuations, we needed a reliable and constant source of energy, nuclear power plants. Therefore, we use so-called kilopower systems, and per reactor, they provide us with 10 kilowatts of energy. So that's really, really great. They are situated here behind us, and they are extremely safe, so no worries.
Amazing. And how do you ensure that we always have enough energy? Since energy is important for so many life-supporting services, such as oxygen and freshwater production.
Yes, that's a good point. We need to store the energy, and therefore we use really large, like nickel-hydrogen rechargeable batteries. And in that way, we can deal with the peaks in demand. And furthermore, we produce hydrogen on a large scale, and this energy can then be used later, whenever and wherever we want, if we need it. So that's great.
Thank you very much. We will move on now, but it was very interesting talking to you.
You're welcome. Have a nice day.
You too. See you.
Of course, we also produce our own water and food here, but the supply system is rather different than on Earth. Fortunately, Nikki is the best expert we have in this field. To start with the basics, why is the city built on this location?
The reason why we built the city at a specific location has to do with the availability of water. As you may know, we live close to a big underground lake. This lake is different from the ones we had on Earth. But due to filtering systems, the water from the lake can still be used for many purposes. When the water of the underground lake may not be enough, we could also use the ice from the North Pole on Mars. The ice needs to be melted and also filtered first, but it's not as saline as the water in the underground lake. A disadvantage is that it needs to be transported all the way to our city. The reason we built a city not closer to the North Pole is because for part of the year the North Pole is very dark and the ice cap can shrink or grow seasonally and is thus not very livable.
What is different in this lake and why do we filter?
The reason why we filter the water is because the water contains a lot of salt. The salt concentration is at least 20 times higher than it was on Earth's ocean. The good thing about the high salt concentration is that the water can be found in liquid form. But the downside is that we need to filter it before we can use the water. We do not only use this water for drinking, but for many other things like food production.
What are the food sources on Mars?
The main and mostly only food source on Mars are the plants. Here in the dome, we produce different crops such as vegetable, fruit, nuts, and also fungi that are edible. There's just not enough space, food, and water available for cattle to live here to use as a food source. Plants can also be used for production of oxygen to be used for humans. The only other food source that we might consider are insects because they are very sustainable and have a high calorie density.
So we produce the food inside the dome. Why is that?
These foods are also growing in a part of the large dome because they can't survive outside with the climate on Mars. The temperature is too low and there's too much harmful radiation. Also, the plants need CO2 and oxygen to grow. This oxygen can also later be used for humans to survive.
So what were in the beginning the difficulties with growing plants on Mars?
A problem for the plants is the soil on Mars. This is not useful for plants to grow on. The composition of the soil is different from that on the Earth. It contains minerals in other proportions and can be harmful or even toxic for plants, as well as for humans. The soils also had a different pH than is used for crops to grow. Also, the soil on Earth contains lots of macrobiology components, for example, earthworms and other microbes that bring nutrients to the soil.
And how did you solve these problems then?
First, we had to adapt the soil on Mars so that it is useful for crops to grow on. We took out a large part of the toxic minerals and fixed the pH. Second, we had to increase the fertility of the soil. The solution for this was to just bring microbes and fungi for the Earth to Mars. Once the soil was ready for crops to grow on a small scale, we increased the soil that was useful by letting the microbes multiply in the soil on Mars, so we could grow crops on a larger scale.
Thank you, Nikki, for this interesting explanation.
Bye.
So we spend a lot of time in public spaces and green areas. We will tell you more about it. Public spaces are spaces where you can meet other people, like a square, a community center, parks. Because a lot of people come from different parts of the Earth, these spaces help in creating a community feeling. We try to make them inclusive, attractive, create meaningful activities, and make them comfortable and safe. So we designed the city beneficial for your mental physical health. But we also have an innovative health and care system, as Nienke will explain.
Yes, welcome to our health facility. In this facility, the health technologies are extremely advanced compared to what we had on Earth. Since we are such an isolated society, we try to do everything we can to ensure good physical and mental health for our inhabitants. We have some of the best doctors, equipment, and services. For example, we try to maintain physical health. We have health innovations like oxygen pumps for breathable and healthy air, artificial sunlight stimulation to increase vitamin D, and effective exercise programs. This way, all inhabitants have the choice of staying in good health. However, sometimes we do have illness outbreaks. For this, we try to contain the disease as well as possible. To reduce the negative effects of these outbreaks, we build large quarantining facilities. For people in quarantine, we try to make it as fun and relaxed as possible. So we have, for example, an indoor cinema. But we also value mental health. In the city, there are almost always social events to go to, so many people are able to socialize and get to know each other better. Furthermore, there's a great support system for people that struggle with mental health. We've got very good therapists and talking groups available.
Thank you so much for the explanation. It sounds like a very good health system.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We will now go on this tour.
We are happy that you also brought your family here. And lucky for the kiddos, our education system is fabulous. We will now walk past the public school. Here at the school, we meet Renske, the head teacher from the Mars City. Here we see the school where all the community kids go to. Here's one of the teachers. Let's ask them some questions about the education here.
Hi, welcome to the school, Mars. I'm glad to tell you something about it. The classrooms are centered around a common area where the students can eat and hang out a bit between the classes. The classrooms themselves are big and spacious. There are many different working places where the students can work together or individually, whatever they like, and teachers walk around to offer help where it's needed.
Thank you. What kind of subjects do you teach the students here?
We teach all kinds of subjects that are important to sustain life on Mars. These are regular subjects like maths and biology, but within these subjects, we focus on important things for survival here, like what is needed for the cultivation of food. Of course, the things they learn get more complicated with age, so they start with the basics.
And at what age do kids then start school?
Just like on Earth, kids start studying with 4 years old, and they stay in this school until they are about 18. Then they go off into the community and learn from professionals in the field they have chosen.
So how do the students know what fields and jobs there are and what they like?
In our education system, we find it very important that students know what tasks are needed on Mars and what everyone does all day. That is why we organize regular field trips almost every week. We visit all kinds of sectors within the community, and during the trips, the students learn from the people that work there, and they already contribute a bit where they can. This helps the community because they do useful work, and also helps the students to get to know the community and what tasks they are.
Do you also focus on the social aspect of dome life in the classes?
Yes, we do, and we find this very important as well. From a young age, the students have classes about how they should treat each other and solve conflicts, as there's no way to avoid each other here. As they get older, we can get into norms and values and topics like equality on a deeper level.
All right. I think this is a very interesting explanation of our education system. Thanks for your explanation.
No problem.
Oh, look, here we see a building where a citizen meeting takes place. This is Arne, one of the mediators of the citizen groups. Arne, could you tell us a bit more about how this works?
Sure. In the different communities we have here on Mars, citizen participation has great importance. Citizens are involved in the decision-making process of all areas of society, and we have working groups and special projects in water, food, and social cohesion.
That sounds interesting. How is this organized?
Representatives of each sector are voted on to reflect all parts of society, and each district of the city has a district representative, and then districts can be self-sufficient when it comes to governance, but interact with other districts for general matters concerning the whole city.
And what do you think this system has improved from the one we have on Earth?
Well, the most important part of citizen participation is that we ensure that all groups, and then especially minorities, are represented in a meaningful way, and we really try to avoid symbolic participation. One of our main purposes is trying to step away from ideas such as racism or patriarchy to that dominated Earth's society, and we try to construct a system based on true equality among individuals.
That sounds great. Thank you for your explanation. Yes. We have now come to the end of our tour. Thank you very much for joining us, and we hope you will feel at home on Mars.
So thank you guys for listening to our podcast. We are a group of students from the Geoscience Honors Program from Utrecht University.
During the last month, we worked at designing a future city on Mars with students from Earth Sciences, Human Geography, Spatial Planning, Sustainability Sciences, and Nature and Innovation Sciences. We made this podcast to present your ideas, and we hope you enjoyed it.
So see you on Mars.
Thank you.